This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for this introduction. And you are back with the Christian War Room. And we are talking, this is the second talk, about occupying the high ground. In the last talk, we were looking at armies. You know, we were looking at the Battle of Gettysburg. We were looking at the Golan Heights. We were looking at the Battle of Waterloo. And whoever won this battle, they were occupying the high ground. And Golan Heights, very important for Israel. They need them to protect the people who live around the Lake of Galilee. And otherwise, if the enemy owns the Golan Heights, they are in deep trouble and they can't let this happen. So the high ground is very important, and we need to occupy the high ground as well. And what we established in our last talk is that using the Word of God and standing upon the Word of God is the high ground where we can resist the devil and he will flee from us, and where we can have victory. And that is occupying the high ground. Okay, we're going to move this talk a little bit around. We're going to look at some other stories in the Bible. And we're going to look at this. And right, I mentioned a little bit the story of the guy who was a little bit crazy, and he plastered all his war room, where he was doing his YouTube filming and where he was sort of preaching from. The whole room was plastered with Bible verses, and it looked sort of a little bit surreal. But to be fair, it's biblical. You know, Deuteronomy talks about it. Deuteronomy 6:9. Talks about to put scriptures on the doorposts. And then we were talking about the Ten Commandments being removed from all sorts of public places in the United States of America, and the Supreme Court actually endorsing this decision by the lower courts. And it's quite shocking, actually, that something which has been part of the American spirit, of the American institution, of the foundation of the American Constitution, had to be removed from public land. Again, I find it very, very shocking, and I think as Christians we should rise up and, in your face kind of thing. So now we should have Ten Commandments all over. I suggested an idea might be to just get some banners with the Ten Commandments printed up and to have a watch at these places just displaying the Ten Commandments on public ground. But before you do this, check the bylaws, check the laws of the community where you're living in, whether it's okay, not that you get into trouble. If it is legal, if it is okay, then do this. You've got free speech, and this could constitute part of your free speech. But again, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what the legislation is and what the legislation says in America. So let's move on. I wanted to dig out the scriptures, and I had to remember there was one scripture of, I think it was Jacob, and they were in the land of Israel, and he was there with his 12 sons, and things didn't go too well. And I should really dig out the scriptures, but anyway, it's just a principle that is there, and I want to talk about this principle. And they started to sanctify themselves, so they started to sacrifice, to pray, to go right with God. And suddenly there was a fear of God falling onto the inhabitants around him, and they left him alone. They didn't attack him. So he was in dire straits. He thought he was going to get attacked. And I think it was a story with one of his sons who, something was going wrong there. And anyway, he sanctified himself. He was beseeching the Lord his God, and the fear of God fell upon the people around him. And that is a little bit like the high ground, which is the higher ground. You can't go much higher than to seek refuge in the arms of the Most High. This is the highest ground you can possibly have. And that is sort of the message in there as well. So when things go wrong, when there's a big problem, that you seek refuge in the Lord, and that you seek the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And that is the highest ground you can occupy. And from that ground, you can fight victoriously. And again, we are not talking a fight against flesh and blood. We are talking a fight against spiritual dimensions, against spiritual realities. Okay, so what could be the high ground? What could be the high ground? The high ground could be scripture. It could be integrity and righteousness. It could be holiness. Yeah, so that could be the high ground. Yeah, so we already established the Word of God is a high ground, and we need to stand on the Word of God. To be able to stand on the Word of God, we might have to do what this guy did by plastering the room with scriptures. But it's very important, and I would recommend it to every Christian to just, you know, at least once in your life to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And bits of it are very hard going. Why? Because it's a very big book, and if you don't understand the historical context, some of it can be very confusing. But do this, and there's a reason for that as well. Number one is you get an overview of what's in the Bible and what is where. You know what is in Judges, what is in 1 and 2 Samuel, what is in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You know the prophetic books, you know the Psalms, you know roughly what's, you know, where in the Psalms, you know, Proverbs, you know, the big prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then the minor prophets later on. And the New Testament as well, so you know what's where, roughly. So, and the second reason is, if the Holy Spirit wants to remind you of Scripture, you need to have seen it before you can be reminded of it. So I think it's important, even from that perspective alone, that you read the Bible. And again, any impression we have in our spirits, may it be prophecy, may it be what we perceive to be of the Holy Spirit, but we can be wrong. Yeah, it can just be something else. It can be our imagination. It can be something else. If we don't know the Scripture, it is very difficult. You know, we can be easily deceived. We can be easily led astray. And we can maybe believe things or do things which are not right, which will ultimately give us a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. So I would say it's very important. It's really, really important that you at least have got a rough idea of what is in the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, that you roughly know what is where. And then it'll help you. I also would recommend that you get a Bible handbook, maybe use it together with reading the Bible. There are a few of them around there, and some of them are really, really good. Some of them you can download online quite freely. But that, again, is one of the things what I would recommend. Okay, next one is integrity and righteousness. Now, if you've got integrity on your side, if you've got righteousness, and I once heard one pastor saying, you know, because of the end times and everything coming up and the attacks we have and all the problems we have, that he's prayed up. Yeah, I heard this term, I'm prayed up, I'm ready. And I think that's very important as well. We need to be prayed up in our relationship with God. We need to be repented up, you know. All of us, yeah, and I don't exclude anybody, we have got flaws in our lives. And sins are not necessarily on the outside, they can be on the inside as well. Jesus said, you know, if you're angry with somebody, you are in danger of hellfire. If you look at a woman lustfully, you know, you've already in your heart committed adultery. And and it's difficult. Yeah? So we need to be in a position that we bring everything to the Lord, regardless. The tiniest sin, the tiniest sort of mishap, whatever it is, that we just surrender it to God and that we live in this constant mindset of repentance. So I'm not talking about being miserable, but I'm talking about, you know, being corrected all the time and constantly turning away from the bad stuff towards the good stuff, towards the stuff God wants you to do. So that is very important. So, and that leads us straight into holiness. You know, if you do this, you will be, you know, going towards holiness. You know, holiness means set apart and, you know, sanctified maybe, you know, by God. And your relationship with God will grow stronger. The link between you and God will grow stronger. And you will be in a better position, a bit like Jacob. You know, the fear of God will fall upon your enemies. And they'll be worried about this. Even demons will be worried about you because of your level of holiness, because of you loving the Lord your God and of you going to the Lord your God at all times.
And it's something they can't stand, they can't deal with. Same with integrity and righteousness. You know, if you are righteous, you know, in the dealings with the people around you and so on, it's very hard to try and give you a hard time. If you are corrupt, it's very easy to compromise you and you've got a lot of problems. Okay, occupy the high ground. That's what we go to. The high ground is not just, you know, in battle. It's not just to seek refuge in the Lord your God when things, you know, heat up, which is good and which is necessary. But it's also to pursue a lifestyle of holiness and a lifestyle of righteousness and to try and aim for integrity in your life. Okay, high ground. What else? We talked about to know your Bible, which is very important. That's occupying the high ground, you know, knowledge and knowing what is important to know. I've got a note here which says, know your facts. Very important. When you're dealing, and we are talking about the Christian war room, and we are talking about battles with the enemy, and the enemy can be an evolutionist, it can be a Muslim, it can be a Hindu. So it's important to know our facts. And one thing about the high ground is, I can see into the enemy's territories, I can see into the enemy's lines, but he cannot see what we are doing, because we are on top of the mountain, they are in the bottom of the mountain. If you stand on the Golan Heights, you can look right down into the Valley of Galilee, and you can see what's going on, whether there are troop movements or whatever. But if you are down in Galilee and you look up the mountains, you can only see whatever's happening on that side of the mountain, but you cannot see what's behind the mountain. There might be nothing, there might be a massive army. And that is the reason why we need to occupy the high ground. We need to know about our enemy. We need to look into their lines. We need to see what they are doing. In God, we can do this. We have supernatural knowledge through the Holy Spirit, and we can, you know, receive discernment. It's a gift in Corinthians to discern what is going on with the enemy, what is wrong. Who is the enemy? It's very, very important, because sometimes they just sneak in our lines and they try to mess us all up. So we need to see who is the enemy and then, you know, conduct a spiritual warfare. We need to know our enemy. So I've got a bunch of examples here. We've got about 15 minutes left. Let's see whether I can get through them. Okay, the first example I have got is I'm just looking at my piece of paper here, and I've just got like little notes on here. Okay, a guy called Guy Malone, and he's actually from New Mexico, and there's a shop, it's called, and I'd seen it. I was in New Mexico in Roswell at one stage. And I was there for, I think it was about 2 weeks or something. And whilst I was there, you know, it's all about alien and stuff like that. I saw this shop called Alien Resistance. And I thought, oh, dear, you know, here we go. That's, you know, all the alien hunters and so on. Now, I'm not quite sure what you think about this whole alien thing. I've got my explanation, and I believe that the majority of the stuff, if not all of the stuff, is demonic. To do with fallen angels, and whatever you think about it, but there's a problem, and the problem is that a substantial part of the American population have had some sort of abduction experience. So we don't know whether this experience is real. You know, some people think it is real. There are stories about, you know, people who managed to interrupt this abduction, that they would fall back in the bed. They were sort of floating over their bed. They fell back into their bed, and their wife, who was sleeping next to them, she woke up and she told him off, you know, stop messing about. If you go on YouTube and you check out Guy Malone, or Malone, M-A-L-O-N-E, you can actually hear some of his talks and some of his experiences. Anyway, he was looking into this abduction phenomenon, and again, the some people think it's about, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5% of people of the American population who have had this experience. And one thing he found out when he was reading those reports is that when people called upon the name of Jesus, that this experience stopped there and then. You know, they went straight back to their bed. The critters tried to get control of this guy and ask him to cooperate and to don't mention this name. But when they called upon the name of Jesus, it all stopped. They were back in their bed. The whole experience were over, and they left away. And that's something Guy Malone latched onto, and he went into this UFO community and starts presenting these things, you know. And so that is a sort of a very interesting thing where, again, we are looking at occupying the high ground. The high ground is the word of God. When we go to John and we read in the Gospel of John the first couple of verses, or we read it in Revelation, the word of God is equivalent with Jesus. These guys call upon the name of Jesus. And I should have a verse somewhere here. It's in Romans. Romans, have I got it? I thought I've written it down somewhere. It's Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Yeah. Romans 10:13, a very, very important verse. But these people were taking this literally. They called on the name of Jesus, and it was over. Nobody started poking them. Nobody started doing anything to them. Straight back to their beds, and everything was done and dusted. It's worthwhile to listen to this, to Guy Malone. He's a very, very gifted speaker, and he's just been collating these reports, and he's been helping people who have had these experiences and feel quite traumatized from the whole of it. Again, it's sort of all about occupying the high ground. Okay, what can we do? There are a couple of things as well. So I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures. There's, if you go to James chapter 4, and there's verse 4, and it talks about the friendship with the world is enmity with God. And again, right there, we are back in the high ground. We can, as Christians, live in, how should I say, spiritually, we can live in the heavenly realm, where we reach out to God, where we invite him into our lives, where we, you know, have... Let me use this term from this pastor. It's called Lawson. What's his first name? I can't think of his first name. Lawson. That's anyway. Reverend Lawson. He said, I'm prayed up. So if you are prayed up, yeah, and you are right with God, and you are... Let me use this as Michael now. That's Michael's term. You are repented up as well. You can live in heavenly places. You can live in the fellowship of the and the communion of the Holy Spirit, and you can walk through earth, and you can live in another dimension. It sounds all very spooky. If you are a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you are not a Christian, my friend, there's Jesus Christ. You can be born from above, and that's the gospel according to John chapter 3. And if you follow this through, you can experience the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can put you into some sort of heavenly realm. Anyway, as Christians, we have got the choice. We can either follow the flesh, or we can follow the Spirit. And if we follow the Spirit, we have got friendship with God. If we follow the flesh, it's friendship with the world. And that is enmity with God. And we need to, you know, get on the right side. It's very, very important. We need to be able, and we need to get on the right side. If we're not on the right side, we are on the wrong side. And it's as simple as that. If you're not with God, you know, we are in a place where we shouldn't be. And in James chapter 4, verse 7, James talks about submitting yourself to God, and that in submission to God, we can resist the devil. Yeah, and it's very, very straightforward. So a lot of people just quote, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that's not the whole story. The whole story is submit yourself to God. And sometimes stuff is hard because our will is not necessarily aligned with the will of God. And if you're anything like me, you know, I've got my own ideas. I Michael does what Michael does kind of thing, and it's not necessarily a good thing. And we need to align our will with the will of God. And as soon as we do this, we occupy the high ground. We are coming out of the valley and we are going right into the high ground. And it's the devil who comes out of the valley. And because we're on the high ground, he hasn't got a clue what's going on. We are together with God. Who knows the mind of God? The devil certainly doesn't know the mind of God. And we occupy the high ground. And then all we need to do, you know, from the position of strength, from the position in submission to God, James 4, verse 7, from the position in submission to God, we occupy the high ground. We resist the devil, And we can resist them through just the way Micah does it in Jude. I'm just looking at my little scripture. And in Jude, I think Michael, he was it Michael? I'm not one of the angels. He was saying to the devil when they were fighting, I think about the body of Moses or something. It refers to a scripture in the Old Testament, and he says, "Let the Lord rebuke you." Yeah, so that is really the position, you know. When you deal with celestial beings, you don't go and you rebuke everything, you know, from beginning to end. We need to understand that these are principalities, and we are nobody. We're only somebody because we are in submission to God. And from this position, we can resist the devil, and we can just say, "May the Lord rebuke you, go away." And that is pretty much what we need to do. It's just stand firm, stand our ground, and he will flee. Okay, what else have we got? I'm just looking. We need to stand firm. We stand firm, he goes. We resist, he goes. Okay, I've got one more story, but I don't think we've got the time, and I leave it out for now. I want to come to the conclusion of the whole thing. So, number one is we need to occupy the high ground through the Word of God. Yeah? So, we need to know the Word of God. We need to familiarize ourselves with it. And there are so many things you can do this. It's number one is you read the Bible. You make sure you make a point that you cover all of the Bible. There used to be a preacher, and I haven't seen many of them around. He's with the Lord now. His name was Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I hope I got this right. And he had a program called Through the Bible, where I think in a period over 5 years, he was preaching from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it used to be quite popular when I was a young Christian, and I'm going back about 30 years now. Plus, 30 years plus. I used to listen to him on shortwave radio and translate it into German and also in English. And he was just a down-to-earth guy, you know, a really down-to-earth guy. He had a lot of interesting stories. The website Through the Bible is still up, so you can go to the website and you can check it out. And you can obviously, you know, not do it. It's only like sort of, I think, 10, 15 minutes talk, little sermons or sermonettes or whatever you want to call them. But I'm sure you can go in 1 year through the Bible and just listen to him talk about, you know, stuff and bringing everything alive in the Bible. The good thing is he covers the whole thing and he does this. You can have, I've got it on my smartphone. You can have like a Bible reader. So it's just a little app, and you can download all the audio files. You can do this via the internet. And you can just listen to the Bible and just, you know, when you address or when you're driving or when you're sitting down having a breakfast or whatever, you can just turn it on and, you know, let it talk to you, you know, cover a book a month or something. Yeah. But anyway, there are many ways of doing this, and it's important to familiarize yourself with it in some way or another. Get a Bible handbook, get a synopsis as well, that you understand which story is where and, you know, what people fit in where. When you read the Quran, Muhammad or whoever wrote the Quran, I don't think that it was necessarily Muhammad, but some other clever guys, they didn't really understand the chronology of the Bible. And a lot of events which are mentioned in the Bible, in the Quran, are just sort of all over the place. And you've got people who lived thousands of years or hundreds of years apart from one another, you know, having a discourse to one another, talking to one another. And that's a big problem. And that's somebody has written that book who didn't read his Bible, that's for sure, to make those mistakes. So it's worthwhile to get an overview. Okay, resist the devil, that's a high ground as well. We resist the devil through submission to God. And that's something many people leave out when they refer to James. We need to submit ourselves to God. And from that position, we can resist the devil very safely. And it goes as well, if we make God our refuge, who can attack us? Who can do anything to us? You know, when the troubles of life hit you, make God your refuge. Go to God straight away and pray about it. Yeah. Okay, next one. Call on the name of Jesus. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You know, whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Yeah, and that is occupying the high ground, you know. call on the highest, call on the creator of the world. You know, you can't go much higher. And you shall be saved. That's a promise. And you can stand on this promise. Now, obviously, it talks about your salvation, your spiritual salvation. But I tell you one thing, you know, you are in trouble. And I've seen this in my life very, very often. In my life, I've seen this so many times that I felt I was squeezed into a corner and I've got nowhere to go. And I'm a logical person. I'm an engineer by trade. So you get trained into, you know, thinking in a certain way. And I was sort of, you know, like a chess game, looking at all my options, and I was checkmate. You know? I was done. There's nothing. There was no option. I was finished. But then you call on the Lord, and suddenly, you know, the wall which you are squeezed against opens up, and there's a way which wasn't there before. And God makes a way where there is no way. And you just walk on it, and you are okay. He removes the mountains from your path, and he levels away your walk on so that you can be safe. And it's quite amazing. And if, as a young Christian, you sometimes despair, as you grow and you walk with God and you've seen all these things, it's always worthwhile to look back. And when, you know, horrible stuff comes and throws itself at you, you're a little bit more relaxed. You know, okay, you know, this is a major disaster, but I'm serving the Most High. He's my refuge. Maybe I've even caused it myself. Maybe I've done it myself, this disaster, but I throw myself upon the mercy of God, and he will make it right. Okay, use the word of God. That's what Jesus did when he was tempted. He was opposing the devil with the word of God. And you can stand on the promises of God as well, and maybe do it like this guy. I think he's called Levi Wayne or something. You know, plaster your room with promises, with verses, you know, put them all over. Have a little cork board or a little whiteboard or something like that, and just put a few verses on every day, you know, change them and dig them out and make it a point. And it might be an activity for the war room to put relevant verses and surround yourself with them, with the promises of God, and stand on them. And then one thing I mentioned earlier, but we haven't really talked about this, know your facts. Know your enemy, stand on the high ground and see what it is all about. I tell you a quick story. There was Muslims, they love debates, and a lot of Christian debaters, they can't hold water with them. They're just too weak. They don't know Islam very well, and they don't know the attacks Muslims, you know, throw at Christians. And then within a very short time, they are sort of outwitted. I remember there was a debate between an Islamic imam, a scholar, Shabi Ali, I think. I'm not 100% sure. It's one of the prime debaters, and Jimmy Swaggart. And all Swaggart had to say is, I've got the Holy Spirit, God talks to me, and I know the truth. And that was all, but he couldn't respond or retort to any of the stuff the imam was throwing at him. And when he looked at the debate, he would have said, the imam is one, you know, he's right, and Christianity is not very good. It was a very poor defense of Christianity. Now, we need to know our enemies. We need to know what they believe and where their flaws are, and we need to deal with that as well. We need to know the facts, and we can go to evolution and other bits as well. We need to know the facts. And as I said, Islam, it doesn't take a long time. You can dismantle it if you just present a few facts. The same with evolution, the same with a lot of other stuff in this world. Atheism doesn't wash it. It's a lot of stuff which just doesn't wash it. We need to know the facts. We need to know the enemy. And then we can prepare an attack that is strong and hard. Okay, we are coming to the end of our half hour. Thank you for listening to The War Room, ChristianWarRoom.com.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to The Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about The Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.